Pogba with great skill from him to wing the Mo Salah! Raheem Sterling! What a finish! What pure class from the Englishman!
Premier Talk, the English Premier League podcast for the fans.
Hello and welcome back to the Premier Talk podcast. This is episode 6 of season 3. I'm one of your two hosts, as always, Andrew Mello. And alongside with me is the man, the myth, the legend, Danny B, Danny Barbudo. Daniel, how's it going, bro?
I'm doing great as always, Andrew. How are you?
Daniel, I'm doing fine. You know, busy as ever. Daniel, if I was you, I wouldn't be doing too well because United right now, they're in the gutter right now.
They're not that much in the gutter. Come on now. Just coming off a big win against Tottenham. Doing no win.
I don't know.
He's not getting sacked. We love it.
I'm not convinced. And I think a lot of other United fans aren't convinced either. But Daniel, nonetheless, let's get right into the starting lineup for episode 6.
Start us off in the starting lineup. As always, we got our match day 10 recap.
We got a little segment called The Manager Rollout Continues.
And then we're going to end our episode off with a Manchester Derby look ahead. A nice short one for you guys, but as always, short and sweet. It's going to be like that. Let's kick us off with the match day 10 recap. There were 7 games on Saturday, October 30th. First one, Leicester versus Arsenal. Arsenal coming out of this one with a 2-0 win over Leicester. And I got to shout out Ramsdale quickly because he was phenomenal in this game. He was absolutely ridiculous. This guy could have saved. He was a brick wall in that. He could have saved anything that came at him. It was incredible. So the save that he made on Madison's free kick was nuts. And he had a phenomenal game leading this Arsenal team to a 2-0 win. Second game on Saturday was Watford versus Southampton. Southampton won this one 1-0. Again, Southampton hasn't had the greatest of years, but coming out with 3 points against Watford, always good. 3 points is 3 points. Third game, a little bit of an upset here. Liverpool versus Brighton. Liverpool drawing this one 2-2. Brighton's been pretty good this year. And I don't think anybody expected Liverpool to drop points in this one, but they did. And now that drops them back of the table because Chelsea is 8-0-1, I believe, and they're going nuts this year. And, or no, not 8-1-1. They're somewhere up there with 8 wins, and they're currently lead the Premier League. And now this drops Liverpool to second because they drop more points. And they're still yet to lose a game this year, which is great. But dropping points right is not what you want to see if you are a Liverpool fan. Newcastle versus Chelsea. Chelsea coming out doing what they do, what they have been doing all year. 3-0. They've been great. Newcastle struggling. They're currently sitting 19th. They're still yet to win a game this year. We're still yet to see all this money rolling in on this team. We haven't seen them pick up anybody big. They changed. They got rid of their manager, you know, bringing in new faces. Hopefully that helps. But we'll start to see it more when they start to bring in more men for this side. Manchester City versus Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace beat Manchester City 2-0.
Well, to be fair, Manchester City got a red card early on in the game with Laporta seeing red.
It was right before half, just before the 40th minute or so.
But this was a great performance from Crystal Palace. They got their goal, and then right at the end of the game, they got their second to just put the icing on the cake. It was a great result. Tough day for City. And Gallagher's been very impressive this season. He's been arguably one of Crystal Palace's best players. He's been very commanding in the midfield. He's been really good, really, really good at starting kick-starting counterattacks for Crystal Palace. And that's where they really bag a lot of their goals is in the transition. Mm-hmm. So he's been fantastic. And he is a Chelsea product. And his rights still belong to Chelsea, so maybe we'll see him break into that squad. It'll be much tougher due to the depth, but if he continues at this rate, you know, Thomas Tuchel kind of ignore him for too long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree. I think he's going to make that Chelsea side very soon. We're going to move on to Burnley versus Brentford. Burnley haven't had a good year. 0 wins coming into this one, and they beat a Brentford side that hasn't been scared of any team in the top 6 this year, and they beat him convincingly too with a 3-1 W. Pulling the 3 points out for Burnley, now putting them in 18th, just sitting inside relegation. And this is not what you expected from Brentford. I think everyone expected Brentford to win this one, especially the form that Burnley's been in. But, you know, upsets happen. That's why we love the Premier League. Tottenham versus Manchester United. Manchester United, massive 3 points for them. again, saving Ole's job. Not something that I don't want them to drop points, but I don't want Ole to stay, coming from a Manchester United fan. So this was a little bit of a weird one for me. They played great, I think. They changed a formation, which I know Melo wants to talk about. It was weird to see. It was a 3-5-2. Melo, what do you think about it?
Daniel, I'm not surprised he had to change some things around. Obviously, he had to make some sort of tactical adjustment. Like we said, he couldn't let it go on for too long. But I just don't think the personnel is right for that formation for Manchester United. I think it's a great formation. I think a lot of teams have really picked up the three back in recent years due to the effectiveness of the fullbacks, if you have good fullbacks. Anyways, for Manchester United's sake, it's not a good fit. Just because of all the, they have a plethora of wingers that are just rotting on the bench. If that's the case, Sancho's going to be on the bench. Rashford will be on the bench. Green will be on the bench. I thought that the duo of Ronaldo and Cavani was pretty decent. I think they worked very, very well together up top. Very experienced strikers. They knew where each other were going to be. And they're clinical. Both of those guys are clinical. And that's what Manchester United misses when guys like Sancho and Rashford are on. They're not as clinical as Cavani and Ronaldo, obviously. But you really can't employ this formation for too long just because the wingers are sitting on the bench. And then also, you don't have the depth defensively. You're going to have to play Maguire, Lindelof, and Varane. And then if any one of those guys goes down, you don't have that depth. You're going to put Eric Bailly. Like, there's not much depth there at all. So I don't think you – and Varane's out now too.
Varane just got injured, yep.
Just got injured again. So he's out for some notable fixtures. He's going to be out against City this weekend. So that's a big, big loss. That's the problem with this United team. They lack depth. They lack depth, Daniel. And that's – this formation with three center backs is not going to cut it for them. I'm sorry. It's not going to cut it. They got lucky this game out, and they're not going to be able to replicate this with this formation for too long.
To be honest with you, I didn't mind it. I don't like how Rashford, Greenwood, and Sancho are being left on the bench. I know Rashford is capable of playing up top, but Cavani being in, he was great. Even I know Ole came out last week and said that Cavani in training was the best training session he's ever seen from anybody at a professional level. Like, he was phenomenal. And then he got the start after that training session, and he's playing great. Obviously, you're not going to keep Ronaldo on the bench, which leaves Rashford, Greenwood, and Sancho to filter in either as quote-unquote wingbacks or to filter in up top. I don't know where this leaves these players, because I think Greenwood is having a phenomenal year. Sancho hasn't fit into this side yet.
12 games, zero goals.
I expect him to fit into this side soon. You know, he's a world-class player, and they paid a lot of money for him. I know it was less than what they were willing to pay a couple years ago, but they still paid a lot of money for him. He's their main man that they've been looking at the last 2 years. Yeah. So I expect him to come out and finally start producing for this side. And Rashford just coming back from injury, but you know how clinical Rashford is. He's been great over the last couple of years.
I don't think it's as clinical as people think he is. I think he's a decent finishing attacking option, but I think guys like Cavani put him to shame in terms of finishing capabilities. Yes, Daniel.
Rashford has the missed pace that
big,
Cavani's
big
lacking.
Chances. I'm not talking about pace, Daniel. I'm talking about ability to finish when in front of goal and not squander chances. Cavani's much, much better. Mm-hmm. I think Rashford had a nice finish, a very nice, neat finish the other day in that game when he came on. But Daniel, this just to go back again to the formation, it doesn't complement to the personnel. So I don't think it's going to be, I think it was a temporary solution just to show face. Oh, I'm changing up formation, but some things are just not meant for this team, and that the formation is one of them.
Kind of funny when he did this formation change to Ole, because Conte was rumored to come into this side, and Conte, every single team he's played with has switched to a 3-5-2. So it's kind of funny that he went and replicated that with this United side that does have the players for it, but it does cause players to be left out. I don't know. I found that kind of funny, and so did the rest of the internet world, because Twitter and Instagram seem to be going absolutely nuts about this. Talking about the Conte situation, we're going to talk about that a lot more during our the manager rollout continues. The next little side, the next
segment.
I lost a word there. Thank you. Moving on. That was all the games from Saturday, October 30th. There were seven. A little bit of a weird schedule considering there were seven games on the Saturday, which leaves us to three games left for the week. Sunday, October 31st, we got Norwich versus Leeds. Leeds coming out beating Norwich 2-1.
They
Leeds
needed this
one. 17th.
They needed
and Norwich
this one.
Sits in 20th. That is dead games can come with when you're talking about two teams that are higher up on the table. They did need this one. Leeds did need this one, and they came out with a win against Norwich side that is, again, like Newcastle, still yet to win a game. The second and the only two games on Sunday was Aston Villa versus West Ham. West Ham continue their phenomenal form.
6-2
beating
two.
Aston Villa.
They're 6-2 on the season, 20 points. 4 wins in the last five. They've been fantastic, to say the least.
Europa League, they haven't lost yet. They've been nuts. They beat Aston Villa on this day 4-1. Konsa, he got a red card in the 50th minute. They were already down 2-1, but it was a yellow first, went to VAR. He was last man. It was debatable whether it should have been a red or not because it wasn't. He was last man, but at the same time, the attack was coming from the wing. So it wasn't like a direct path at goal. It was a little bit of controversy at the end of this one. Moving on to Monday, November 1st, we got Wolves versus Everton. Wolves came out with the 3 points here. Again, another big 3 points that Wolves desperately needed.
Daniel.
And they got it.
Daniel, I think people are sleeping on Wolves right now. They currently sit in seventh after a lackluster start. It's 4 wins and a tie in their last five. They've been fantastic as well in the last, slew of games. Really good work from the squad, really good adjustments from the manager. They're looking up, and they look like they could possibly contend for Europa League, if not Europa League, Conference League for sure. So I'm really impressed the way they turned things around. I thought it was going to be a bad season due to the start because they had a poor start. But then they're starting to pick it up, and they're starting to give some teams some things to think about on the pitch. So top performances are like from Bruno Lage and the Wolves.
That's the thing with Conference League now. As much as I didn't – like, I'm still not a massive fan of it, to be completely honest with you.
I haven't really tuned in much. I just look at the bigger games. But, it's going to take some time to get used to. But I think, Daniel, I already mentioned it, it's very beneficial for those smaller clubs to get smaller them some clubs, action. Yeah. So and give their fans something to look forward to. So I think that's it's going to be beneficial for sure for the game. And I think we'll warm up to it eventually.
Yeah, I completely agree with lower tier sides coming into this. They know that they're not going to rival the top five in the Premier League because over the last, 10 years other than the Leicester winning it, it's been the same teams over and over again that have rivaled those top four positions. It gives those smaller teams, like perfect example, like you said, Wolves. Mm-hmm. They haven't had the greatest start to their season, but with a couple wins and some good players coming into form at good times, they can easily finish in the 6th, 7th spot, which leads them into Europa League, leaves them into the Conference League. So it's good that it's giving more teams European exposure because that's what's needed in the world of football. And it kind of eliminates the whole Super League thing where money is the biggest factor of them all when it comes to building a league that just money just continues to roll in. So it's good that these teams are getting European exposure. Moving on to our second segment of the day, the manager rollout continues. Here, we're going to talk about a couple of managers. There's been some weird things going on with managers lately. First one, Conte coming in because NES. I'm going to butcher this name. I'll leave Melo to it because I'm going to butcher it. Nuno Espirito. No, go ahead.
Nuno Espirito Santo, yeah. NES is OUT. I'm shocked by this. I think a lot of people are shocked by this. I think Tottenham... they're not doing the best in terms of the Conference League performances and in terms of the Premier League. They currently sit in its 9th place, 15 points. It's not the best, best position yet. But, I thought they would have given Nuno Espirito Santo more time. I think he's a top manager. I think a lot of sides would want to have him. I think he'll have a job very soon. I personally always had the discussion with some of my friends that we want to see him coach Portugal because I think he'd really make us play at the level that we're meant to be playing at. So he's a top manager with a top mind. So I was really shocked by this. I think Conte, we were expecting him to either land at Newcastle or even more so at Manchester United due to the current situation. And I was looking at I was looking at a post on Instagram and it was like, Ole outlasted like one PSG manager, 6 Tottenham managers. Like it was a crazy, he outlasted a bunch of managers and it was just It was just like shocking to see that stat.
I doesn't want to seem to leave.
It's true. Yeah, he doesn't want to seem to leave. But I think Conte is a great option for Tottenham. I still am, you know, disappointed that Nuno Espirito Santo wasn't given more time because I think he deserves more time. But we'll see. Conte's back in the Premier League. He's done very well in the Premier League before at Chelsea. Mm-hmm. Now he's coaching another London side. So we'll see what he's able to do. He had his first game as a head coach in the Conference League. That was against Vitesse. They scored two goals early on, and they almost lost. They won 3-2. Yeah. They barely scraped by. Vitesse currently sits in first, Tottenham in second. So it's going to go down to the wire in that group. Still, the points are very close. But with that being said, let's see what the Italian manager does. So I'm interested to see what happens.
He made a lot of eyes on him over the next couple weeks because he's coming into a side like Tottenham that hasn't been great. They have the players and the quality to be a good team. I still consider them to be a top six team in England, but they're not playing like it. You got your main man up top, Harry Kane. You got Son. You got Lucas. There's quality on this team. Højbjerg has been great over the last couple of years. I liked when he came in, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah.
And this side is a good side. I just don't understand why they're always lacking on everything. They came in at first to start off with Mourinho, where Mourinho played such a defensive side, but they're still conceding goals. And then it went to NES, and he's a fantastic manager. He has a great mind for the game, and they're still not succeeding. So now you move on to Conte, and he's proven in the Premier League that he can do so with no matter who he gets. Then again, he's only on top sides. But he's going to do it with the side, hopefully, for his sake, because this Tottenham side really needs to pick up where they left off, I guess, 2 years ago, making it to Champions League final, because it would have been the first trophy that they would have won in who knows how many years. Long time waiting for Tottenham fans. And hopefully he can bring them back to their former glory and pick up maybe a trophy or two this year.
Daniel, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think any manager is going to be able to do with the current personnel of the club. I think the ownership's absolutely garbage. But I think NES was scapegoated. And unfortunately, that's the way it goes sometimes. And we'll see what happens, Daniel.
The fourth and final manager we've got to discuss for the third week in a row, Ole.
I'm sick of it.
He continues to save his job week after week.
Ronaldo's saving his job because Ronaldo's that clutch Ronaldo guy.
Has saved his job.
He literally has in the Champions League against Atalanta a couple weeks ago, and then this last fixture, he scrapped out a tie. He got two goals because Ronaldo's Ronaldo, and Ronaldo saves Ole once again. So I can't believe it.
I think Ole's playing 4D chess. A massive talking point here. I'm not gonna say every because I don't want to speak on behalf of every
fired freaking guy.
I wanted Tottenham to win this game. It's the only game I've ever wished Manchester United the worst. I wanted Tottenham to win this game because I'm tired of Ole. I want a man like Zidane or a man like Conte to come in, manager this side, and I think we can do well. We have the personnel to do so, barring our back line. And we can compete for a title. Now it's a little bit too late because Chelsea and Liverpool seem
to be Chelsea's going to run away with him, man. I'm
taking off.
Going to run away.
There seems to be running away. But I wanted Manchester United to drop points in this game. Mm-hmm. And the best situation, Ole get fired. They bring in a man like, I want Zidane in, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he's
good. Conte would have worked. Yeah. Conte would have worked just as good as Zidane. But United go, take a 3-0 win in Tottenham, and then NES gets fired. And Conte comes in and takes his job. So Ole basically beat this Tottenham side using Conte's formation that Conte plays in with every team. Beats this Tottenham side, gets NES out of a job, and makes Tottenham bring in his biggest competitor for Manchester United's managerial position.
You know, it'd be funny now if Ole gets fired and then they go sign NES as coach. That'd be pretty funny. I would like to see that.
This is just mad. I don't even understand. Nobody saw it coming, but it happened. And now it's kind of funny to look for. If anybody here who's a massive football fan has been on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or TikTok or literally any social media ever, and you're on the sports side of it, you see the memes coming out of this one of Ole taking out his biggest managerial threat in Antonio Conte and giving him to Tottenham so that his job remains safe for who knows how long at this point, to be completely honest with you, this Manchester United staff. But it's just crazy to see. I found it so funny.
Daniel, I want to jump into the next segment here, the last segment of this episode, the Manchester Derby look ahead. Daniel, I wanted to surprise you a little bit here. I want to keep you in the dark. I got a little quiz for you. It's a little quiz. Manchester Derby theme quiz. So I'm gonna roll out some questions. They're all true or false, except for the last one. Or one of them.
I can't wait to absolutely fail this. People are gonna be like, you're a fraud. You don't watch any games. It's gonna be asking me questions from like 40 years ago.
Daniel, do you want to start with number one here? Not question number one. Those of you listening, you can also play along with us. Try to see if you know your Manchester knowledge.
Let's get started. You ready? I'm ready.
Daniel, Manchester United has the most Manchester Derby wins with 77. True or false?
I think they have more wins than City. I just don't know if 77 is the correct number. You know, I'm going to say true because I know they have more than City.
Daniel, you are correct.
There we go.
That is true. There's one, right? Okay, we're going to go to the next one. Sergio Aguero has the most Derby goals with 9.
I thought it was...
True or false? I thought
it was Rooney. I think that's false.
You sure it's false?
Aguero? I know Aguero does. Aguero destroys.
Do you want to lock it in? Do you want to lock it in?
It's up to you. I'm going to stick with my gut right off the start. I'm going to go false.
False. You're correct, Daniel. It is Wade Rooney. You're right.
It is Rooney. Okay. Okay.
And Rooney bagged 11 goals all time in the Derby. So, Daniel, you're 2 for 2. Good start. We're going to go to the next one. We're going to go to appearances. Does Rio Ferdinand have the most appearances all time in a Manchester Derby?
Rio played on United for a long time. There's a lot of derbies.
Oh, and the number that I'll give you is 25. 25 appearances. Is that the most?
I feel like there's players that played on Manchester United longer than Rio and appeared in more derbies than Rio did. So I'm going to say false.
Daniel, you're 3 for 3. You're correct.
Three for three. Let's go.
Do you have a guess at who it would be? Which United player? He retired not too long ago.
Probably Giggs.
Giggs, yeah, you're right. 36.
There we go. Okay, there we go.
36 yeah. All-time.
Look at that. And I got both players too.
So Daniel, you're 3 for 3. We're going to go to the next one. This is an over or under. You could take over the number that I'm going to give you or under, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The teams have met for more than 175 appearances. Is it more or less?
They play 2 times a year. Yes. Sometimes depending if they play in Europe as well. So maybe 3, maybe sometimes 4 if they're playing in the knockout round, which can only happen in the finals, which I don't think has happened in a long time. So possibly 3. 175, you said?
Yeah, lower or higher than
that. Should be like 90 years of Manchester derbies. The league has been going on for that long, but I don't know if you're considering merger or not. I'm going to say lower.
You're locking in lower?
I'm locking in lower.
All right, Daniel, this is your first L of this quiz. It's over. It's over 175.
How much?
I believe the number is 184 total appearances. Ooh. I know it's over 175. I think the number is 184 all-time appearances, which is a healthy number because these guys have been playing since.
Oh, yeah. They've been going.
1901, you know? Like, they've been out here.
Jeez, that long? Okay, I was thinking more like 1920. No, that's where my
it's been past 1901. That was just I might be wrong on that, but don't quote me on that for sure. But they've been playing for over 100 years. So next one, Daniel, and this is the final one. Can you go 4 for 5? The largest victory was 5-1 for Manchester United back in 1962. True or false?
Are we talking this is the largest win in a derby by Manchester United?
Yeah. And it is by Manchester. It happens to be by Manchester United. Is that true or false? 5-1.
5-1.
Is that statement true or false that I just said? The largest victory was 5-1 for United back in 1962.
I'm trying to think. I feel like there's one higher than that. Gut feeling thinks there's one higher than that, so I'm going to go false.
Daniel, you're false. Or you're right. You're right.
I'm right. Answer, it was
the statement was false. And United never won. They never had the biggest score ever. It was Manchester City, actually. That had Manchester the biggest City, score okay. ever. It was back in 1962. I kept the same date in there just to try to keep not something real. But it was 6-1 for City on that day, not 5-1, 6-1. And then the last time City won 6-1 against United was not too long ago. It was in 2011. The biggest victory, margin of victory for Manchester United all time was 5-1. I forget mm-hmm. the year, but it was 5-1. I saw it somewhere that was 5-1. But City, back in the day, back in 1962, 6-1 victory. What a sad day that would have been. Do you think they could replicate this upcoming week?
Pray to God that they don't.
Daniel,
United wins 5-1.
Daniel, I just want to pick your brain here a bit. Is it more detrimental of a loss for Manchester United this week, or is it more detrimental of a loss for Manchester City this week?
You can look at this two ways. City's higher up on this table, not by much. I think mm-hmm. they're sitting in third, I believe. Yeah, they're sitting in third. Yes, third. United's sitting in fifth.
3-point difference.
A win for Manchester United would put City level, would put mm-hmm. them level with City at 20 points. And then you have to hope if you're City fans or United, well, not much City fans, more United fans, that Liverpool and Chelsea got to start dropping points. They have
yeah.
to. Even with a win here and Chelsea and Liverpool loss, that's like three different games you need to happen. United and City would still sit 5 points back. I'm going to say this would be more detrimental of a loss. I'm going to say, I don't want to say City here, but I think I need to, because right now, based on looking at current sides for both City and United, I think City has a much greater chance of rivaling for the Premier League champions. And I don't think Manchester United has the ability to do so currently. I think that the personnel they do usually have, and hopefully with Ole moving on, I can't keep saying that, it's awful, but hopefully with Ole moving on soon, we'll have the manager who can control this side and bring us to glory like 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I'm going to say City. This is more, it would be a bigger loss to City than it would be Manchester United.
That's an interesting opinion there. I think that I think for City, they got to get a win. I think both teams desperately need a win. I think they both need it. Mm-hmm. But for City's sake, in terms of keeping up in the race, they really have to win. And then for United, just to stay in the top five. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. We also have to give credit to Arsenal. I know Arsenal's been really good of late. They've caught up. And mm-hmm. we've been bashing on Arsenal, but we should bash on United as well, because they've been just as poor.
Just as poor.
Not worse. Mm-hmm. So I see United coming out this weekend and maybe giving City some problems, but I think City is going to have to bounce back from the loss against Crystal Palace. They're going to have to mm-hmm. Because they're sitting on 20 points, five behind first place Chelsea. If they lose there and Chelsea win, they're screwed. They're literally mm-hmm. screwed. It'll just be Liverpool up there. So, and then even Liverpool, I think people are sleeping on the fact that Sadio Mane and Salah and Naby Keita are going to be heading to the AFCON soon too. So, that's going to be a huge loss. And I think they're going to be terrible for the time that they're gone, because those are key guys, right? I don't think mm-hmm. Jota, and I don't think Firmino just went down with a serious hamstring injury from what I read. So I don't know if they have the depth offensively, and then you throw in some midweek games with cup ties, and I don't mm-hmm. think Takumi Minamino is going to be your savior. So it's going to be interesting to see. I'm looking forward to seeing those guys take off and seeing what Klopp could pull up out of his sleeve, and see if he can keep them in the race. Because if you keep them in the race, then anything can happen when they come back. But they're gone for a month, so it's going to be tough stuff for Liverpool.
I want to end this off with a little score prediction. We have no Varane this week.
Oh, yeah.
No Lindelof either, because Lindelof was injured and Bailly came in for him. So, which means our back line is going to consist of,
I think it's going to be a four-back this weekend. It's going to be a
four-back. It has to be. It's going to be Shaw, Maguire, Bailly, and Aaron Wan-Bissaka, which defending against this Manchester City team is not an easy task.
No. definitely not. Especially Bernardo Silva's been fantastic this year.
Is De Bruyne out? He might be out.
I think De Bruyne might be out, yeah.
I don't know if he's going to be out, but he's probably a game time decision, or they're going to be discussing this probably right now, because the game is happening 12 hours, it's about 17 hours from right now when we're recording. Andrew, what do you think the score is going to be? Who you got in this game, and what do you think the final score is
going to be? I got 2-1 for Manchester City. I think that Ronaldo's going to score as per usual. Ronaldo's going to do Ronaldo things and just score. But I think City's going to win. I think just the fact that Varane's out is a huge, huge loss for United. And I don't think they're going to be able to compensate for him being gone. And on top of the fact that you have Bernardo Silva, Gabriel Jesus, guys like that, they're going to be running at you with the ball. It's not going to be easy, especially when you have an $80 million fridge captaining your side. So it's not looking good for Manchester United right now. And this is going to be a real test of character for the players. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe they could shut me up. Maybe they could pull off an improbable win and show me that they're much more than what the papers constantly say they are. And that's that they are inconsistent. They are not at the level of these big teams in England. So
I'm going to have to disagree with you here.
Dan, you're going to have to. You're a United fan. So
I got Manchester United pulling out the 3 points, massive dub. 3-2, Manchester United. You heard it here first. They're going to come up with the win in this one. City's going to score. Of course, they're going to score. You got, like you said, $80 million fridge in that back line. And no Varane. They're going to score on this Manchester United back line. De Gea is going to come up big with a couple massive saves. Ronaldo's going to do Ronaldo things. Mm-hmm. Maybe we get a little bit of Sancho first goal of the year coming in. Off maybe a sub if they continue to play this 3-5-2 formation.
Yeah. But
they got this in the bag. This is Manchester United we're talking about here. Anyways.
I don't know, Daniel. It's gonna be a tough fixture. I'm interested to see what the sides are gonna do. And I'm gonna tune in. I'm gonna tune in tomorrow morning at 8. So it's gonna be a good one.
Bright and early. 8:30. I love it.
Daniel, that about wraps it up for episode 6. I'm just sick of talking about Ole, man. We talk about him every week. Next week, we should take a hiatus from the Ole talks.
Ole break, yeah.
We're probably going to have to talk about him again because this derby, right, that's happening. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see what unfolds. And then we'll see you guys next Thursday. It's an off day for us. We did it on a Friday today just because of scheduling and stuff, because of life. You know, we get busy. So sorry about the release, about the episode. So
it's life.
Life.
As always, we're available everywhere: Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube. Hit us up on our socials at Instagram at Premier Talk Podcast, and we'll be there. We'll love to answer if you guys want to let us know in our DMs. Like, follow, subscribe on our YouTube. We appreciate it always.
And then I just want to shout out the shirt that I got back, special shirt, throwback shirt. Who's your father? It's none other than Eder Lopez, the man, the myth, the legend. Scored the winning goal in the Euro 2016. Me and my buddies made some shirts in his honor, the legend. So I had to toss it up here for the podcast today. So those of you watching on YouTube, you'll be able to see it. Those of you listening, just picture the goat. Just picture a goat.
Either picture it or you can tune into YouTube too.
Yeah, you can tune
in. Listen to it and then at the end, you go tune into YouTube. Yeah. Why not?
All right, guys, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next Thursday. Take care, everyone.
See you later.